In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Luke, the 13th chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you hear Jesus say things like, "I have not come to bring peace, but division," and "unless you repent, you all will likewise perish," you might be tempted to ask the question of the anonymous stranger, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" But Jesus never really answers that question. He never answers the question the stranger asks in Luke 13, nor that question that you asked. Because neither the stranger nor us are given to know the hidden things of God. So Jesus flips the question. He refocuses the attention away from the them to the you and the me. Strive to enter through the narrow door. You strive to enter. You repent. You come to the banquet. And he does all of this so that you yourselves may not be numbered among the many who will seek to enter and will be shut out. This fact alone, that many will seek to enter the kingdom of God and will not be able, should serve as a wake-up call, an alarm clock to us comfortable American 21st century Christians. After all, Jesus is speaking in Luke 13 to those who claim to be of the house and line and lineage of David, those who are of the faith of the Hebrew patriarchs. It is clear by Jesus' words that he will not accept genealogy for payment of salvation. John the Baptist, you heard say a similar thing a few months earlier, "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'I have Abraham as my father.' Neither should you or I say to ourselves, 'But I was a pastor in your church. But I sat on a board or a council at Emmanuel.' But we volunteered in the church, you see, and out there in the world, we mowed the lawn, we fixed the church property, we repaired the church parsonage, we cooked and carried for every single meal, funeral or wedding, you name it, we did it. We sat in the pew every week, we put money into that offering plate, we counted the offering, we showed up to Bible study every week. Our ancestors built this church, or we have Luther as our father. For I tell you, from these stones God is able to raise up children of Abraham, and from these stones God can raise up children of Luther." That is, Christians who believe that they are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If you think that you are saved simply because you come from a Christian family, or because you've gone through the confirmation classes, and you've gone through the Sunday school classes, and you have a basic knowledge, as a kindergartner has a basic knowledge of the ABCs, so now you have a basic knowledge of the faith. Or if you strive to be a good person and put those good works before God, believing that they will save you, when Jesus returns, you will be cast out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then you will begin to say, "But we ate at your table and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." And he will say, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil." Yes, Jesus' words should serve as a wake-up call to us comfortable, complacent 21st century American Christians, so that when Jesus returns, we who think that we should be first in line don't actually end up last in line, and the doors of heaven shut in our face. For some who are first will be last. Repent. Your Christian genealogy, your Sunday school and confirmation classes, your time as elder, LWML member, or pastor in the church cannot, will not, and do not save you, nor does your good works. These are but a broad door that leads to hell, the outer darkness where the worm does not cease eating you and the flame never dies. None of these things, when brought into God's presence, gets you anywhere with Him. The only question that truly matters when you're in God's presence is the question that Jesus actually responds to. Where do you come from? That's the question that confronts each of us today. Where do you come from? Because Jesus says, I do not know where you come from. So where do you come from? Are you born of flesh, belonging to sin, death, and the devil? Once I tell you, you were, but you are no longer. For you have been born from above. There, in that baptismal font, you were born of water and spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. You do not belong to sin. You do not belong to death. You do not belong to the devil. You are not of them, nor are you of the world. You are of Christ. You are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, for you were taken from the water and blood that came from Christ's spirit side. You are called Christian, for you are taken out of Christ. Or do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? You were buried, therefore, with Him in baptism, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. And today, by God's grace, through the Spirit, you and I have once again come to confess our sins. That we cannot ever be perfect in and of ourselves as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We have come to receive God's grace in Jesus Christ, and today, once again, you are clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Today, He says to you yet again, I forgive you all your sins. And though your sins were like scarlet, now they are whiter than wool. Though they were red as crimson, now they are as white as a newly fallen blanket of fresh snow. Today, our Lord knows exactly where you come from. Be not afraid, dear Christian, be not afraid. For the Lord knows you by name. He knows those who are His. He knows you. He called you by name. He marked you with His cross on your forehead and on your heart. You are His. Where do you come from? You are of Christ. You belong to Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the narrow door by which you will enter, for He is your Lord and Savior. And what shall you exactly enter into through this narrow door? The eternal wedding celebration of our text. The marriage feast of the Lamb, that you and I receive a foretaste of that feast to come when we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. That great feast where all God's saints, those who believe in Him and are covered by the blood of Jesus, shall come from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west to recline at table in the kingdom of our God. Blessed indeed are those who are invited into the marriage feast of the Lamb. Blessed are you. In the meantime, as you continue your journey, your life in Christ toward this marriage supper, this new Jerusalem, Jesus today reminds each and every one of us to strive, to struggle, to strain with every nerve and fiber of our being through that narrow door. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. St. Paul has to remind himself just how difficult it is to live as a Christian in this world. How there are things that he does not want to do, sins that cling to him that he keeps on doing, and how there are the things that he wants to do that he just can't seem to do. Paul himself says, but I must discipline my body and keep it under control. Yes, lest, and after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Today, take the promise of Christ and the warning of Christ to heart and live in between both of those things. Live in peace and quietness before your God, knowing that you have nothing to fear on the last day, for your sins are forgiven and you belong to Jesus. And live in fear before the world, for you are not of the world. You are of Christ. You are in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus knows what it is to be in the world, to walk the way of temptation, discouragement, and betrayal, the way, that lonely way that leads to one place, to the cross, to the hill called Golgotha.
If you walked that way by yourself,
you would never get there. You would either have a door that keeps getting more distant and narrower until you are so blinded by your sin that you cannot see it, or you would run back in fear to enter into the gates of life like everybody else, to enter into all the different things that this world, the temptations of sin and death and the devil. You would wander off your path. But He, your Lord, not only walks the way, but it is He who also is with you and for you. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Do not try to walk it by yourself. Do not leave the body of Christ, this festal gathering. Do not forsake it on Sunday morning. Do not forget to take the food of heaven with you. Come and receive His word. Come and eat and drink at His table. Come and receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of all your sins. Be refreshed in your journey, that your hearts may be made brave again and your arms made strong. Return again and again to the foot of His cross and receive the mercy of our God, for this is where He promises to meet you until that great and glorious day when you meet Him face to face. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. To Him be glory forever. Amen.